This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, we've been talking about this Monday Night Crew for a while. And I'm starting to feel bad criticizing them so much because I know it's hard and we're all in this business. And, I don't know, it feels cannibalistic when I'm just pounding on them. But I mean, it really is. And I'm comparing them to the other big game broadcast teams that are out there in football. You know, the Nance and Romos, the Buck and Aikmans, the ones of the past that were so great. That's really what I'm comparing it to. I'm even comparing it to the McDonough, Gruden, Tirico, Gruden ones as well. And it is not improved at all. And there's other times, too, because when something gets criticized as much as this has, I try to look at it with some fresh eyes and say, well, maybe it's just gotten to that point now where everybody's just criticizing it. Is it getting better? So last night I tried to do that, and it's just impossible. You know, Joe Tessitore on the Christian McCaffrey halfback pass has got the guy named Martinez who's running down the field when it's man hurts. And I actually said to myself, you know, I think that was a pretty decent call. And then I look back, I'm like, there's no Martinez on the Panthers. So there's that. And then Jason Witten, without fail, every single week, has something, says something that's just so ridiculous. And last night it was Cam Newton. One of the best things he does is run after the catch. This is what he says last night. The guy's a quarterback.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I am not gonna pile on. I'm just not gonna. It's just part of what it is. And you know, ESPN says they're all coming back next year. It's a. You know, I don't know. Maybe it would be different if they put Booger up in the booth. I hope they do, because I think whatever genius decided that, you know, this is a great way of doing it, and let's reinvent the wheel with three guys that have never worked together before, should be fired. I mean, that's the genius. Whoever decided that needs to be out. It's ridiculous. They should be standing next to each other. They should have a little fun with each other. You know, it's one thing I will say about Tony Romo. He didn't really care. You know, he just lets it rip and just talks and oohs and ahs, and he's in the game and you can feel it and all that other stuff. He didn't care. You know, he's not talking about, you know, player rankings and, you know, pulling guards and all that stuff. He's just, and I think that's the way that Troy and Joe do it. Troy and Joe do it very, very matter of fact, like two guys watching a football game. And then, of course, there's Chris and Al. And Chris and Al probably are the brightest of the groups because they are very good at getting in and out of what they need to say. And Chris has worked very hard to make himself understand every position on the field and is able to articulate what's happening in a very short sound bite and very rarely makes a mistake.
Yeah, and I know those guys have been doing it longer and the chemistry builds up and you just get used to it. And Jason Witten is still very, very new. It's just that, I mean, there's been so many
mistakes.
Why don't
you go sit in my office and we'll do the radio show from, you do it in my office and I'll be here. How do you think that would work?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you got a guy down on the field riding around on a freaking trout, whatever the thing is. and like, I don't even understand why that decision was even allowed.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
How does that make the broadcast any better or any more interesting?
Right. It's not like he's on the field in the game. I mean, he's on a moving cart. And by the way, most of the guys who are really good at this look at the monitor, right?
That's right. We watch. Well, he has monitors with him.
Okay, but why does he have to be on the field then? Right. My point is that the ones who are the best at this look at the monitors because that's the best way to call the game because that's what the people at home are seeing.
That's exactly right.
So now you've got Booger McFarland who's on this thing going back and forth whether he looks at the monitor or not. It's now you're obstructing the view of people in the stadium. It's just, it's crazy.
And it's a big production, right? Because it's the only game in town. Mm-hmm. So they put a lot of resources behind it. I'm sure there's a ton of people that are supporting the on-air talent. And the thing about it is somebody decided to separate the talent for some reason. I don't know why that even
and
is
when,
a part
I mean,
of why reinvent the wheel? What makes that better? No, I have no idea. Watching,
it's like, there's no answer.
You know, I understand, like you know, hockey broadcast, now they put the guy between the benches. But he is not – I mean, sometimes they'll have the guy between the benches and the play-by-play guy working in concert with one another when they want to do it that way. But very rarely do they do that. That's like the sideline reporter who's listening to what's going on between the two teams and gives you like kind of a flavor of the game and all that other stuff. You know, and I kind of like that. It's kind of like the sideline reporter in football. Okay, it's become part of the broadcast team. You know, whether we like it or we don't like it, it's kind of feels normal to me now.
Sure. Yep.
And you can get some pretty good information if you have somebody that's really on top of their game there. But I don't know, Booger on that. What do they call that?
The Booger-mobile.
It's the Booger-mobile. Right,
so he's on the Booger-mobile. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I'm not watching it because Booger's sitting on the Booger-mobile.
Right, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it's just people are going to watch the games if they're good, and they're not if they don't. And if you think about Jason Witten and his trajectory into this, he's proving every single week that
he's
not cut
out for it. He's just
got to
get away from the football vernacular and the football cliches. That's his biggest problem.
Yeah.
And he is just not comfortable. He has not become the guy that we all know away from the camera yet. You know, he is still worried about how it comes off, what he sounds like, and he's worried about what people think. That's just normal. Mm-hmm. That's all. And maybe he'll be better next year. I don't know. But they better get Booger off the mobile and put him in the freaking booth and let those guys just have a conversation during the game and have some fun with it.
CeeLo is back with an update. What's going on, Chris?
Good morning. Brought to you by 2x London. Visit the engagement experts at Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. Let's begin with the Monday Nighter in Charlotte. Panthers had the Saints on the ropes most of the night. New Orleans finally took the lead in the fourth quarter and then leaned on their defense to seal another win.
Newton hit as he throws, and a line drive throw is in back of the tight end. Ian Thomas, no yellow on the field, an incomplete pass by Carolina, and on downs it will go over to New Orleans with 35 seconds to go.
Kevin Harlan, Westwood won about a 12-9 final score, lowest point total in a Saints victory since 1998. Not your prototypical performance in the Drew Brees, Sean Payton era, but a win is a win. They're 12th, closing in on home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs. Brees not surprised, it was tightly contested.
Bottom line is, you go on the road in the division, especially Monday Night Football, against a team that has a ton to play for, right? They're still fighting for a playoff spot. And you know this is it's going to be a battle.
And Brees and his head coach certainly on the same page.
We know every time we play Carolina, and we've got a tremendous amount of respect for the tight games that we play in.
The little pause there, you think he forgot for a second they were called the Panthers?
Yes.
He might have.
Absolutely.
He's crazy, too. He's another. He's insane. But that's why he's a football coach.
He's brilliant.
You have to be insane to be a football coach. But I think, you know, if Ron Rivera gets fired, I don't know why Tepper would do this, the new owner down there, you know, he'll get a job immediately.
Oh, of course.
Immediately somebody will hire
him.
Yeah,
I don't doubt that at all.
I think he really wanted the Bears job after Fox got fired. But Pace was looking for that next, you know, offensive play caller, and he found him in Nagy.
Yep. Alvin Kamara had the go-ahead 16-yard TD run early fourth. Saints went for two. Carolina actually returned it for a deuce to stay within a field goal, but nothing cooking for Cam Newton, playing through that shoulder injury. 16 of 29, only 131 yards and a pick. He was sacked four times as well.
Our defense played a hell of a game, and we got to reward them when they do those things. Two turnovers in the red zone.
Certainly not a formula for success. Panthers have dropped six in a row to undo a 6-2 start. You guys covered it in the open. More Eli Manning talk at Giants camp yesterday as the media asked about Kyle Lauletta potentially playing again now that the Giants have been eliminated from playoff contention.
You know, we're getting a lot of guys in the game, so we'll see if that includes Kyle at some point.
That means Eli's going to start the last two games? Fair to say?
Well, moving forward, we're going to do what we have to do to win this game. So, yeah, Eli's going to start this week.
That, of course, would be Pat Shurmur, and as has been reported, most likely see Eli again in 2019.
Do you want Eli to be back next year?
I want all our players to be back. You know, I really do. And, you know, I believe experience matters.
Make of that what you will. Shurmur also reiterated he believes Manning has years left in his NFL career, which he had said in the offseason after taking the job. Eli himself focused on finishing this season on a high note.
They're important games. I think, you know, we feel like these last, you know, since the bye, we've been a good team. You know, we are a good team. We're kind of becoming, and we want to, you know, hey, every once in a while you have a bad game.
Referencing the loss to the Titans, Eli with Mike here on The Fan yesterday got the Giants and the Colts this Sunday, and apparently they're not looking to shut down Odell Beckham Jr. with the quad injury. If he's healthy, he'll play. We'll see if that's the case. Elsewhere, no surprise, Nick Foles will start again for the Eagles week 16 against the Texans. Carson Wentz not placed on injured reserve just yet with the back fracture, but unlikely we'll see him again this season unless the Eagles somehow made a deep playoff run and he recovered.
Man, I tell you, if Nick Foles does this again,
it'd be great.
Would it?
It'd be awesome. It'd be quite a story. It'd be great.
If he does it again, he's going to be, I think he's a free agent next year.
He has, it's a $19 million option.
He's going to be released.
Well,
they're not paying him and Carson Wentz.
Right. Well, let's say for some asinine reason they decided to keep it or franchise him, right?
Right.
There's a clause in the contract, if I read it correctly, where Foles can buy back the option for $2 million to set himself free to become a free agent.
Set yourself free.
That's right. And go get paid.
The Giants quarterback. Yeah, what Nick Foles in here.
I tell you, what do you think sports talk in Philadelphia is like? People calling up about that. I mean, my goodness, those two quarterbacks, and we won a Super Bowl with Foles, and then Foles comes in this year, we beat the Rams on the road, and Carson Wentz had some struggles. I mean, I bet you there are people going back and forth on that.
I'm sure.
Constantly.
So, you know, Nick Foles, had a great season under Chip Kelly, 27-3, 27 TDs and 3 interceptions. He went out to Kansas City. They won some games with him as quarterback. They weren't pretty, like he didn't have big numbers, but they won. And even last year, you know, at the end of the season or even in the playoffs, there were times where he didn't play great, but the team still won. In other words, his competency level continues to rise. And then the second half against the Vikings and, of course, the Super Bowl victory against the Patriots, he was awesome. So, you know, I asked my my buddy Frank about him in the offseason. He goes, Boomer, I love the kid. You know, the kid can play. He's got a big arm. He can throw the ball down the field and likes throwing the ball down the field and is accurate throwing the ball down the field. He goes, he's a winning quarterback. He doesn't have that personality that's going to, you know, be like the A-type, you know, Aaron Rodgers personality, that kind of thing, or the Drew Brees or the Peyton Manning or one of those personalities. But I'll tell you, he's really confident in himself.
Yeah, Carson Wentz has just got to be in a really, really bad place right now. Because, I mean, think about this.
2 years in a row.
Right. Yeah. But not only. So beginning of this year, when he's getting healthy, Nick Foles did not play well. So he's probably thinking to himself, all right, you know, this was a magical Super Bowl run, but now we're back to reality. I had an MVP season. When I come back, I'm going to take this team back to where it needs to be. Now he gets hurt again in the first game back. Nick Foles does that against the Rams.
On the same field where he shredded his knee last year.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't care how great of a guy you are or whatever. Like, and you're putting the team in front of yourself, and I'm sure Carson Wentz does that. This has to be in his head. It just has to be.
Or eating away at him.
I will say one thing about the Eagles, man. They got some of the biggest players in the NFL.
Yeah,
holy crap.
Do, yeah.
I mean, between Fletcher Cox and Jason Peters and, you know, just how big they are, and Zach Ertz. I mean, like that, when they get off the bus, you're like, holy crap, look at these guys. So they're getting healthy at the right time, maybe, with the exception of the quarterback, and they got a huge game this week, man.
And they need a Vikings loss. See if Gio's team can help them out with
that. Well, you got the Texans. Got the Texans coming to town.
Yeah.
So, you know, they could have been had by the Jets easily last week.
I believe I saw a stat. The Texans in their history are 0-11 in Philadelphia. That can't be right, though.
Well,
no, because there's no way the Texans have played that many times. It had something to do, I thought, with the Texans that maybe just against the Eagles or I don't know. I'll circle back on that. I'll do some research.
Maybe let's be a little bit more accurate.
Yeah, well, I saw something, and now that I'm saying it out loud, it doesn't sound right.
Maybe in the state of Pennsylvania? Maybe that.
They haven't played them that many times.
Well, you include the Steelers as well.
Maybe that was the
Steelers. I'll look into it. I'll get back to you. Let's hit the Knicks. Gio got his wish last night. A lopsided home loss to the lowly Suns.
Knicks 1-for-8 from 3 here in this third quarter. Warren rattles it home. A 39-point quarter for the Phoenix Suns. Yes. And they lead by 15.
A perplexed Mike Breen on MSG. Suns ended up outscoring the Knicks.
Why is he perplexed?
Why is he perplexed? Did you hear him? They lead by 15. Like, how is this happening?
Right.
We're at the Garden. The Suns are terrible, and they're up 15.
Hey, Suns have won 3 in a row
Yes, they have.
They're ruining their season right now. They're 7-24. The Knicks are 9-23. So, I'm telling you, they're close.
I mean, we had a long way to go here, fellas.
Well, Atlanta has got the worst record in basketball right now. It's 6-23. Now, the Knicks have played 3 more games to them.
Mm.
The Knicks are
because
9-23.
You're going to do this every game.
Yes.
You're
going to
live and die with the standings every game. We haven't even hit not even in the new year yet.
Look, I am on the Gio bandwagon on this one.
Right. I'll tell you, CeeLo, remember last year? They were good in the first half of the season? And that's what kept them out of one of those top spots. This is
Every one of these games matters.
I got to tell you, Fizdale
especially
did
against
a great
the bad
job
teams.
Last night.
He really did.
This is exactly what he needs to do right
it was,
here.
It was too close for me in the first half.
They got to start trading some guys now.
Playing,
let's go.
They were okay. playing too well.
Scotty Perry's got to start trading some guys.
All right, right? Yeah, well, I know. If you can.
It's Noah Vonleh works too hard.
Yeah,
he works too. Listen to you.
I know, but we got
listen
get rid
to what
guy.
You just
that
said.
That guy is going to cost us a game or two.
I mean,
you know, in the second half of this season, and we're going to fall like to the fifth seed.
Same thing with Cantor. Too productive.
Yeah,
too
productive.
Not on the defensive end. My God.
I think our young guys need more work.
Actually, you know what? It's probably a wash. You're right.
And this Moutier, all of a sudden he starts scoring.
Yeah.
No, keep him around.
Don't you? You only see your head coach develop a guy who's just basically, you know, kicked to the side.
Who's not going to be here. He's probably not going
to be here. Is that a lock?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you end up signing him, then you take yourself out of a max player. So, you know, what decision you want
to make. So build him up and then flip him for something at
the
deadline.
We got to get Durant and we got to get Zion. Or look at,
listen to you. Noah Vonleh works too hard.
Yeah, he works too hard.
You'll be the same guy next year. This team's got no heart. They don't play any defense.
Get Kevin Durant here, and all of a sudden, you know, Jim Dolan's talking about selling his team for $5 billion to sell for $7
billion. God.
All right? Zion Williamson and Kevin Durant on the same team with Porzingis and Knox.
Not that far,
and then you got Neal Akeen at the point guard. You got, what's his name? Trier. You come back. That's fine. Great. I'm just telling you, this is worth billions of dollars. Okay. Wake up.
Maybe Jim Dolan then really won't sell the team. Or if they're worth even more, you get a good price and someone else will step
just
in.
Just remember that, you know, he is the, you know, the head of a public traded company.
Yes.
So he can't really give you his personal feelings about things. He's always has to be like, well, if somebody makes a big offer, then I have to consider it because
for the shareholders.
For the shareholders, right, exactly. They're not in it because they're Knicks fans. They're in it because they want to make money.
Of course. By the way, remember yesterday I said maybe someone kicked Tim Hardaway Jr. in the groin and won't play? Maybe someone stepped on his foot because he sat out last night with a sore heel.
That's
so there you
good
go.
Job. Worked it's a out. Really good job.
I know. So you remember Enes Kanter the last time that the Suns played the Knicks?
Yeah.
He tweeted at Devin Booker, hold that L, kid. Talk to me nice or don't talk to me at all.
It was in January.
Right. It was back. Was it? Was that when it was? It was last year? Yeah, you're right. It was January.
Earlier this year.
Last season, rather. So Devin Booker responded last night. He said, pick and roll at 00 every time.
He's right.
Yes, he is. He had 38.
He's so
he is right.
He's so right, man.
Yeah, maybe we should keep Kanter around then. You know, now I'm thinking about it.
Knicks have dropped 7 of 8, 9 of 11.
I can't believe I'm even talking this way, but now,
you know what it means.
But the reality.
Plays too hard.
It is the reality. It is definitely, you got to get Durant and Zion here. That would be ridiculous.
All right. Nets welcome LeBron and the Lakers to Barclays Center this evening. Pregame on the Fan at 7:15. We'll do some baseball next hour, and the Islanders did beat the Avalanche
last
night.
That's a great win by the Islanders last night, but they got two injuries, right?
Yeah, I forget exactly. I got to look into the details a little bit more.
Nelson and Hickey,
there you go.
Right?
See, you're on top of it.
I think Nelson got kneed or something
like that.
Someone
went into the boards. Hickey went crashing into the boards.
That's a hell of a win for that team last night.
Started a four-game trip.
Avalanche are a good team, man.
And Fliegelman told me Texans 0-4 in Philadelphia. There was something about 11. I will get to the bottom of that. against the Eagles, not in Philadelphia.
Oh,
all right,
okay.
So they haven't beaten the Eagles, all right? How's that?
Good job.
Well, you know how that worked out last week.
Right.
Last week, all the teams that hadn't won in a long time against the opponent ended up losing.
It's not good news for the Eagles fans.
Well, that was last week.
Yes.
Not this week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.